Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here, because it is Monday, which means it is Trip Report Day, and we've got Maggie standing by for a great trip report. She's going to talk about going down for some cheerleading nationals. She did Festival of the Arts. They rode some minivans, lots of girl events. They did the high tea over at the Garden View. Lots to talk about today, so stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at TheRunningBuddy.com. Planning a trip to the happiest place on Earth? Share your love for your favorite mouse with The Running Buddy's new Disney Luxe Travel Collection. They offer a variety of products like Mickey and Minnie Mouse backpacks, purses, magnetic hands-free buddy pouches, and more. You even get a free Disney pin with each purchase, and as a bonus for the Be Our Guest podcast listeners, use the code BEOURGUEST for 10% off at checkout. Drop in today. They're over at TheRunningBuddy.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at TouringPlans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the cost of a couple of Dole Whips in Adventureland, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out right now. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1454 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you and welcome to March. It's, March means good things. Also, a very happy birthday to my wife later this week. I will not say any ages because I do want to stay happily married and alive. So just a happy birthday to Pam later this week. And we're going to have fun here, kicking off another week talking about a Walt Disney World trip. So even if the weather's crummy where you are today, we're going to escape here for about a half hour talking about some fun times down at Walt Disney World. So to do that, we're headed out to the West Coast, out to Washington State with Maggie. Maggie, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. This is going to be a good one. And I have to say, and our listeners probably know, this one's kind of, I'm being slightly selfish because I'm going to ask you some questions, which I hope will help me have a better trip here coming up in May. Because of all the times I've been to Walt Disney World, this is going to be a totally new experience for me. And I'm kind of nervous about it. So today we have a lot to talk about. You went down not too long ago. But the first thing I want to talk about is you were down with a group that performed and competed over at Disney's or ESPN's Wide World of Sports for Dance and Cheerleading Championship Weekend or series of days, right? So that, when did that happen?
Yes, so this was in January over Martin Luther King Jr. Weekend.
Okay, so talk to us about, because I think, you know, a lot of our listeners probably will never go down for a competition like this, but I mean, we've had guests that have come on that have talked about, I remember somebody did like a judo competition at Wide World of Sports, and we talked about that on the show. I was like, they do that there? They do everything at ESPN. So walk us through like your background and the squad that you took all the way, I mean, literally across the continent down to Florida to compete. So what was that squad and how did you get the invitation to compete at such an event?
Yeah, so I went with Washington State University, their spirit squad. So it's their dance team and their cheer squad. And we have gone every single year. I used to actually coach the team up until 2015. And so I went with them many times throughout those years when I was coaching. And now I have started to continue to go with the team just to support them and to help out the coach who is down there. It's hard to be running all over the place and in two places at once sometimes for the coach. And so having done it myself, I now make the trip with the team and go support them. And, you know, I'm kind of like the videographer and, you know, doing all the stuff so that they have things to post on their social media, that kind of thing as well. But I love it because I'm a huge Disney fan. Everybody who knows me I look for any excuse to go to Disney World or Disneyland, basically. And then B, you know, it's something I'm passionate about. And so spending a whole weekend in one of my most favorite places doing one of my most favorite things, it doesn't get much better than that.
So is this something, because I mean, you're talking about college kids and like I'm going down with Mallory Squad. They got a paid bid to something called the Summit, which is another cheerleading competition at Wide World of Sports. And it's like the biggest deal for them in the country. Like they go into their season, at least for Mallory Squad. And this is the first year she's been on this pretty elite squad here in St. Louis that, you know, like the whole goal is we got to get a bid, which means that you have to get invited to this competition down in Florida. But then at the highest level, you get what's called a paid bid, where they actually pay for your entry fee. They pay some of their they give them tickets. The kids, now we're paying a fortune, of course, the parents.
Yeah,
we don't get anything for free, but you know what? Hey, if they're buying her ticket and her hotel and her entry fee, as much as, and I always thought cheerleading was cheap. Wrong.
Yeah,
oh
no,
my gosh, no. Cheerleading is not cheap. But anyway, you know, so she's got this paid bid, so they're all excited. But that was like the goal going into the whole season. I remember back in the fall, like, man, we have like these 8 competitions and these are the ones that have bids to Summit, which is at Walt Disney World. And it was like, okay, we got to make sure we get a bid. And that's kind of the goal. And they got it in their first competition. So they've been gearing up all year for this. So is it the same at the collegiate level? Because I mean, they have, you know, they get to perform in large stadiums and they're probably on the Pac-12 network and, you know, all kinds of stuff like at ESPN. I mean, is it still a big deal for those kids to get to go down to Florida?
It's a huge deal for them. It's a little bit different in that you can just kind of elect to go. There are certain criteria, like you have to go to certain camps or have previously competed there before. So there is a little bit of criteria to go into it. But then they do offer similar, like they'll have some full paid bids, they'll have some halves and, you know, quarters. And so depending on how you either performed in the summertime at camp or the previous year at Nationals, you get some bid money as well to sort of cover some of those costs for the teams.
Nice. That's cool. So walk us through what it's like to take a group, you know, your spirit squad down to Florida as far as the logistics of it all, especially coming from across the country, you know, getting everybody on the same page, what the expectations are. And then once you get there, the housing for everybody. And I know that there's practice that goes, you know, it's not just the performances. You got to kind of run through your routines and, you know, do full outs and stuff like that. So you see, I'm using my terms there. I'm cheerleading people. No, I'm learning. I'm trying to be a good cheer dad. So here we go. So
I'm impressed.
There we go. If you ever need somebody up in Washington, I'm not your guy. I'll stick behind the mic and pretend. So tell me about what it's like, though, you know, with the logistics of getting everybody to perform at their highest level, because that's ultimately the goal of going down to Florida.
Totally. And, you know, it's complicated because the kids are excited to go to Disney World as well. So I think a big part of it is setting their expectations before you go, that, you know, remember that the reason why we're going there is to compete. And then secondary is you get to spend some time at Disney World. So when I was coaching, and then now that I'm not coaching, but I'm helping, you know, that's always part of the logistics with it, is making sure that the team is able to compete at their highest level and that they're not, you know, staying all day long at the parks and they're just exhausted. And then they have to wake up at 6 a.m. the next morning to get their cheer bows in and, you know, get ready to go compete. Cause it doesn't set them up for success. And so finding that balance is definitely part of it. You know, we there's no great flights coming from Spokane to Orlando. So it is an all day, you know, it's like a 15-hour day of traveling. And so we used Disney Magical Express, but we didn't use the luggage feature. At least I didn't with my daughter and my mom, because I have experienced that before. I know it can take some time. I was like, yeah, nope, I'm just going to get them off and make sure I have my luggage as soon as I get there. We always get there so that there's a full day before any of the stuff starts, just to get the kids sort of acclimated. They had, I believe that, so we arrived on a Wednesday, and on Thursday they had, I think, 5 hours that they could go to the parks. Because what's included with everything, it's pretty awesome. They get a 3-day park hopper. So they can go to the parks at certain times, and it just depends on A, how well your team is doing, and B, what your schedule is for practices. And so they didn't have a practice scheduled that first day until, I think, 8 o'clock at night. So the coach let them go to any park for a good 5-hour chunk, and that kind of got it out of their system that at least they all got to go see Toy Story Land or, you know, whatever the thing was that, you know, that didn't exist last year when we went down. So they got to go see all those new things. And then they could really focus in on the competition side of everything.
That's a good idea because, you know, I'm sorry, but like, it's kind of frustrating for me because with her gym, they're serious about the competitions. They're no joke. And so they're not allowed to go into the parks until like they compete because they're going down the day before. And we're staying offsite. We're staying at the B in Disney Springs, which nothing wrong with that hotel, but I'm just a guy who would rather stay at All Stars or a Pop. That's just me. But the reason they're doing that is because that hotel is putting in one of those spring floors into the hotel itself, so they don't have to leave the premises to get their.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah.
So like, you know, and it's costing me more because, you know, like we could have got a group rate over at All Stars for half what we're paying it to be, but whatever. You know, I got to remember we're going down for her and things are different. It's not a vacation. It's a business trip. And that's how I would look at it if I was like taking a baseball team or, you know, I got to remember that this is not a vacation. So is that kind of where you guys come from? I mean, it's a business trip with lots of perks. It's kind of how I'm trying to see it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think that the more, especially parents, because I traveled with a team to do something similar when I was in high school. And that one was set up very similarly to how you explained the cheer side and Summit. So it was where you had to get a bid and go through everything. But when you have kids, so many more families are coming than necessarily with the college kids. A lot of them just went solo and their parents watched online. Because I think as long as the families know going into it that, you know, it's not a family vacation right now that, you know, they have to be focused on their team. And that doesn't mean that the family can't go to the parks or something like
Amen
that.
Amen to but, that. You know, I'm going up. Yeah, I'll have that annual pass in my pocket, man. I mean, I'll be there at all the competitions, but they can watch cheerleading 12 hours a day. I can't do that. I can watch my kid, but can't watch it all day.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So just having those expectations, definitely.
So, and then we'll move on to some of the other parts of this vacation, because I know this isn't for everybody, but tell us about the competitions at Wide World of Sports, okay? Because if people haven't been over there in the last few years, they have built a new venue, which is really kind of the first building you see now as you come into the complex. It's on the right. Didn't used to be there. They used to have kind of the Milk House and the Jostin Center, which were kind of straight back by the ball fields. And as far as I know, and they use that, these are all kind of facilities they use for everything, basketball, volleyball, wrestling. But that new building, at least what I heard, was that they built it primarily for performances like cheerleading and dance and things like that. So when something like this is going on, because the only thing I have for a frame of reference was I did this thing called Jam Fest back in January in Indianapolis. And I am not kidding. There were like 10,000 cheerleaders and dancers in this huge convention center attached to the football stadium. And I never thought it could be this big, like 6-7 stages going on constantly all at the same time. You're moving around. It's like the spectator sport is like aerobic. I mean, you wear out just doing that.
Yeah.
So what's it like at ESPN? What can I expect? Because I mean, this is like the biggest deal for them. And I can't picture it yet.
Yeah. So it's very similar. And yes, the arena is great. They finished that last year. I think they were still painting when we were there for Nationals last year. You can still see the guys out there finishing touches on the paint. It's like, oh, this is brand new. And so we were the first event. It was a little hairy that first year, but this year was great with how it runs back there at the arena. They do have it, you know, really made for two performances to be happening at all times. Great seating. There's really not bad viewing at the arena from a spectator standpoint. And then in the back, they have, for the dance side, they have, I think, 6 different floors that are like warm-up floors. For cheer, I believe it's 4 floors since they have a lot more, you know, big stunts going up and throwing people in the air. So they have it a little more spread out for that one. So, but yeah, so back in the practice area is absolute madness.
Yeah.
And then from the spectator side, it actually seems pretty calm because they have the 2 separate sides Music travels over a little bit, but it's for the most part pretty, pretty exclusive to that area. And then we were also in HP Fieldhouse. So they had three or four floors always being performed on at every time. And that one's just, they like that one because it has the, you know, the castle in the back and you enter through the middle. And so it's special and, you know, sort of a little bit nostalgic for what it feels like to compete at Disney World.
Well, I'm sure too, that's the, because, you know, I've been watching with Mallory for probably 5 years now. If you catch ESPN, they run a lot of cheerleading and dance championship footage on the station. Like, on, you know, when other, you know, not, you're not going to see it on a Saturday afternoon during football season, but you'll catch it like this time of year, you know, when they're looking for content totally. And stuff like that. You can always catch cheerleading championships of all levels. You can find high school, you know, younger, you can find college, dance championships, like I said, and it's a lot of fun. And I think that's what I think will get at least Mallory, because the thing is, it's a challenge for Mallory, I'll be honest, because she has been to Walt Disney World so much that her expectation of what going to Florida, because we only go there really for either Run Disney events, which to me, this is going to, for her, this is like a Run Disney event for, you know, because when I go down for a race, I'm in bed by like 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night because I got to get up at 2:30 in the morning to go run a race and I don't want to burn my legs out. I'm thinking about performance as well as fun, and she's got to do the same. So just kind of final pieces of advice as far as spectators, competitors, because I'm sure like some of her folks from her gym may listen to this show and, you know, it's something to help them out. So what would be a good piece of advice? Because you've been there, done that, because Disney's such a unique place. You know, if they're going to, like they competed at Northern Illinois University a couple weeks ago. Well, you know what? There's not much going on in DeKalb, Illinois. You know, you go up to compete, there's nothing else to do. But I mean, that's a problem with Run Disney. You go down there, man, there's so much to do. You want to go play the whole time, but it's a business trip.
I think my biggest piece of advice is just to really think about transportation when you're down there then, because, you know, the kids, for the most part, they're taken care of. Like they, like your team probably has a bus or if they're staying at All-Star Sports, which is where most of the teams stay, they have, you know, transportation that is for them to get to Wide World of Sports. Well, Wide World of Sports is not that easy to get to from most other places on property. And so if you're a family that is, you know, you're going to be at the parks and then you plan to come down and watch them, well, you have to factor in that, okay, so let's say I'm up at the Magic Kingdom, then I need to take a bus to All-Stars and then I need to take a bus from All-Stars to Wide World of Sports. Or in my case, we were staying at Port Orleans Riverside, which will probably be what we talk a little bit about in the second part. But you know, so we had to go from Port Orleans to Epcot to All-Stars to Wide World of Sports. So it's this shuffle that's really, you have to factor in time, because that could take 2 hours. It could take 40 minutes. You just don't know. It's based on if you catch the bus at the right time, basically. So that would be my biggest piece of advice, is think about transportation. Lyft and Uber were great. I used those for the first time. So there were definitely times when it was just me traveling that I just used, I used the Lyft app because we were planning to also use the Minnie Mouse vans. And so it was easy for me in that regard to get around. But when I had my daughter with me, you also have to factor in then car seats if you're a family traveling with little kids. So then the buses were sometimes easier if you're really worried about expenses.
That's a good tip, because transportation is, you know, you can't get anywhere quickly. Even when you get to ESPN Wide World of Sports, it takes some time just to walk around that venue itself, especially if you're driving yourself. Sometimes they'll park you out. I mean, like, ESPN's a rumor. Like, you think it's over that way. You know, you've heard that ESPN's somewhere, but you're parked so far away, you can hardly see the place. You know, and that's just another thing to think about. You're not going to get, like, you know, from your car to the into your seat in 10 minutes. You got to consider that's probably going to be 30 minutes by the time you pass through ticketing and security and the walks and stuff like that. But let's kind of get into your trip, because here's my strategy, because, like I said, we're not staying on site, technically, which is kind of, you know, because they're saying it saves you money. It doesn't, but that's just, we all know that as Disney fans, because, like, we can't take Magical Express, and I'm a huge Magical Express fan. You know, it saves us a lot of money. So I was going to rent a car, but then I don't want to rent a car because I don't want to just have it. I don't want to pay to park. You know, like that's just such a ripoff to have that car sitting there to use it there, here and there. So we're going to use Uber because that's what I do, you know, or maybe a minivan to spot, you know, hey, if they bring home the whole thing, I'll splurge. Boy, I'm this cheap guy. I'll rent a minivan. You know what? Yeah. We'll get in. We'll do it right. But, you know, that's kind of our solution is we're just going to Uber everywhere. And by the time, you know, just build it into the cost of the trip, you know, but you got to think of those things.
Yeah.
So you stayed at Riverside for this. So what were your thoughts on that? Because I love that place, but did it work out well? And what'd you think of it just as a place to stay for your vacation or your trip?
We loved it. Yes, it was hard. It was difficult when it came to getting to ESPN. But outside of that, we absolutely loved it. I decided for this trip to bring my mom and my daughter. She's going to be in kindergarten next year. So this was kind of that one opportunity that it's like, okay, she's old enough. She loves the princesses. Let's bring her because we're not going to have to take her out of school for it to, you know, be that she's watching dance for most of the day. And it worked with my mom's schedule. That way I could still be helpful to the team and she could hang out with my daughter. So we decided to stay there and we did the royal guest room. We went all out for princesses, partially because she loves princesses. And then if I'm being totally honest, partially because I left my son at home and I didn't want him to think that he would have enjoyed this trip.
So, good thinking.
So, yeah, we went all out. He's 7 and he was just like, wait, I'm not going with you. And he's like, no, it's a princess and dance trip. I'm sorry. I don't think you'll like it. And so, you know, so yeah. But we decided to just go all out for princesses. So everything we did that was related to our vacation side was really themed around the princesses.
I like that.
And staying there was awesome.
I love that idea, though. And you know what? To be honest, when we stay at Riverside as a family, we always get a royal guest room, not only because they just feel a little bit nicer. I mean, you just got those touches like the fiber optic head fireworks in the headboard and, you know, just the touches of all the princess stuff. But also, you're getting a good location with those rooms, too. I like the mansions. I like the area where they have the princess room. So it's almost like getting a preferred view room anyway with a little upgrade. So
yeah, it's great. And it's just that one little bridge to get to the buses.
Exactly.
And yeah, they're so nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of you're killing two birds with one stone and everybody's, you know, I'm the only guy in the family. So, hey, if I'm at Riverside, I don't care, man. I just love being there. So mark me down for those rooms. Now, so walk us through some of the other stuff you did because you left your son at home. I'm sure he's still not bitter. Maybe he is. You'll have to do something special with him.
I only showed him princess pictures. So.
That's smart. Like, oh, no, that didn't happen. That was, we're having a hot dog at Casey's. No, he didn't do that.
Yeah, no.
No, it was totally, you know, princess cotton candy or something. So, yeah, walk us through some of the highlights because you guys were down there during Festival of the Arts. You guys had the high tea. You guys did a bunch of stuff. So what were some of the highlights?
Yeah, so we, the very first morning we booked Cinderella's royal table. We've never done that before. It was awesome because my daughter, she doesn't love character interactions. I think it's because the buildup of waiting in line just feels like too much pressure. And so being able to sit there and having the princesses come to us, she was so relaxed. She talked to every single one of them, and it actually made her braver for later on in the day that she went and did some of the actual princess interactions and stood in line for them. So it was a great experience. The food was amazing. We really enjoyed that whole morning of starting off our day that way.
That's a great way, not only Magic Kingdom, but I mean, you're right there in Cinderella Castle to kick off the trip, you know, to kick off the day.
Yes.
That's the way to do it. And especially, I mean, being
really
princess
magical.
Focused.
So yeah. You're like, we're going to eat in there. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, anytime you see that before a movie, like, we ate in there. That's where we had breakfast.
You know, and we're big Disneyland people because we're on the West Coast. So we typically go there more often. And there you can walk through the castle, but it doesn't feel the same. You're not, like, looking out on Fantasyland. And we had one of the tables right looking over Fantasyland. We had a window. So it was absolutely magical. Probably my favorite way that I've ever started a Magic Kingdom day was doing that.
Nice.
And then we got through a lot that day. So I looked at the crowd calendars before I left. Definitely do that. that sort of helped me plan out the day, just looking at wait times and that kind of thing. Partially, we picked Magic Kingdom for that first day because I knew that I could, I mean, obviously I could stay there for longer than 5 hours because I didn't have to dance the next day. So I didn't have anything to do with the team until closer to like 6 o'clock was when I had to leave. So it gave us a full day there. And I knew that the crowds were going to really start to build up on Friday because of the Martin Luther King Jr. weekend and Festival of the Arts and everything else that was going on. So we got a lot done. That being said, we also didn't do a lot of the big thrill rides because my daughter was only 4 and she's not huge into roller coasters. She's not tall enough for some of them, you know, so we weren't going on all the mountains, basically. We were just doing all of the other stuff, but I think we did just about all of the other rides there. Some of them we rode multiple times. So it was a really fun. And you guys had given me some suggestions on how to use my fast passes to get through it. And so it worked so seamlessly. And we all had a really great time throughout that day.
Yeah, it can be a huge advantage though, not to have to do like the mountains and the e-ticket attractions all in one day, because it does really open you up to being able to relax and almost see everything else in the park. It's, you know, sometimes like, oh, well, you know, but it's a blessing sometimes, because a lot of times we focus on just the e-ticket attractions and miss out on some of the good things that, we skip by because we're in such a rush.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely made us slow down a little bit, and we liked it. But we still got like 20 things done, and we had 2 sit-down meals with all of that. So, and we felt great at the end of the day. We didn't feel like we had, you know, run from one land to the next because we were trying to do all the tier one.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's not tier one, but yeah, the e-ticket,
yeah.
the top ones. So, so that was our very first day. And then we had 2 half days that we spent in Epcot. My mom's a big foodie, so that was what I thought she would really like. We loved everything at the booth. I heard Chef Todd, you know, giving his reviews a couple weeks ago, and we felt pretty similar to how he did on most of them. The cake that what is that cake? Now I can't even think of it. It's the one that like has all that's red and yellow and blue.
You got
it. Has
me.
All those blocks. So good. That one is delicious. Like if there's one thing that you stop and go get, definitely that. We also had the deconstructed Reuben that was delicious. So it was just fun because we did half of the world on one of the half days, and then we did the other half of the lands or whatever on the other day. The countries. There we go. That's the word.
It works.
But yeah, it was great.
So how did your daughter do at Festival of the Arts? So, because again, this is kind of a more, it's not like an adult festival, but I mean, obviously visual arts and culinary arts, you know, not something that most kids, you know, kindergarten age are going to get into, but I mean, was it something she enjoyed too?
She enjoyed it. I wouldn't say she loved it as much as Magic Kingdom, but we also made sure that, you know, she was riding Frozen Ever After.
Good
and
call.
She loved going on the, in Mexico, going on the little boat ride that's in there. So we tried to, you know, sprinkle those in. She didn't enjoy a lot of the food and obviously not the alcohol that my mom and I were doing, but she wanted a pretzel that was as big as her head. And so I found that for her in Germany. And, you know, so she still found little things that she really enjoyed about it. And Frozen Ever After was definitely a highlight for her. So it didn't really matter what else had happened that night. She was happy about that.
That's smart, though. Yeah, that is smart. I mean, you know, like do, you know, get your food, get your drink, but also swing by. Because as long as a kid's doing an attraction every hour or two, they're going to be happy, too. You know, hey, man, they're at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, yeah.
Good call.
And yeah, even just the little, like when we were in China, we stopped and watched the acrobats that performed there. And she could have watched that show 5 times in a row. You know, so it's just finding those little Disney magic moments that keep their attention while you're going around and eating all of the delicious food.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah, everyone was happy. We were all happy about it. And then, yeah, the last day, so we only had a 3-day park hopper. So that took our 3 days. The final day, since we were at the finals for the college competition, we decided to have that be our minivan day. Probably that was the thing she was most excited about because she saw them all week long driving around. And she's just like, do we get to do it now? Do we get to do it? It's like, no, the last day. So we actually rode three of them that day, but that was just because we needed to get from ESPN up to Magic or up to Grand Floridian. And there's not
a quick way to do that.
So we decided to have that be our minivan day, and those are amazing. Yes, they were expensive. They were about three times as expensive as all of my other Lyft rides, but the cast that's in there is great. Our very first one, the driver had Disney trivia for Lily the whole entire time. So he had related it to a bunch of the movies that she's probably familiar with, like Frozen or Coco, or, you know, those, some of the ones that are more modern for them. And every time she got a question right, he would honk the horn really loud and he would drive fast like Lightning McQueen. Now, granted, he just timed it. He just timed it to when we were at a stoplight. So then he was just going. He wasn't really driving fast. But she thought it was so much fun. And she'd be like, next question. Like, just because we're a Disney family. So she knows all the answers. So she loved it. So it's a different experience, and I definitely recommend families doing it at least once, because for kids, it's really fun.
Yeah, really what it is, it's kind of like the modern day Cinderella's coach, you see them all over, like when you're on a bus, you're like, oh, there's a minivan, because we were there actually the week that they launched, you know, we'd really not heard much about them, and all of a sudden there were these red cars with polka dots on them, and they were free while we were there the first week. Because they were just trying to get the drivers, you know, feet wet. There weren't that many of them. So when you saw one, it was a big deal. And then we got, you know, we rode a couple, and it was a cool experience. And I agree exactly with what you're saying. They're great to get you from point A to point B as a transportation option when you're looking to go somewhere, like you said, from Wide World of Sports to a hotel. Because, you know, you're going to spend an hour doing that or more. Probably 90 minutes if you try to do a bus with the transfer. But you can be there in 20 minutes in luxury, in air conditioning, with a nice seat, with a nice cast member. So, I mean, you know, time's worth money down at Walt Disney World. And also, it's kind of a, you know, it's time to splurge every once in a while. So, I agree with you there. Now, you guys went to Grand Floridian for the high tea, right?
Yes.
I've done that. I did that with Pam Forrester treated us last summer. We went there with my buddy Scott and his family. And, man, that's one of the things I never thought I would do, is high tea at the Grand Floridian. And I'll be honest, man, I loved it. Like, the little sandwiches were nice. The teas, I just asked. I kind of embarrassed the table because they asked, like, what kind of tea I like. And I said, I like sweet tea from McDonald's. That's the only tea I've ever had in my life. So the lady pretty much scolded me and brought out, like, the head tea guy from the back. Like, sir, we have – he was just joking with me. But I'm like, I don't know. My grandma's tea and McDonald's sweet tea. I don't know. I'm from the Midwest. But it was a cool experience. So walk us through what you guys thought. It was probably fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. So we got there early because we had taken the minivan. So that was great. And we actually did the monorail loop just because I had never been to the Poly. And you guys talk about it all the time. So I was like, okay, I need to go see this resort. And so we did the monorail loop and got to, you know, go past Magic Kingdom, go through the Contemporary. And then we got off at the Poly and we walked around there for a good 45 minutes, I think, which was really... really cool, and we got to see the pool area, and my daughter was really excited about that. So, you know, it's definitely on our radar for a future family trip. And then we went back over the Grand Floridian. We did a little bit of shopping there as well, and then we went down into the lobby, and it happened to be, we didn't know this was going to happen, but it's called the Princess Promenade.
Yes,
I don't know if you've heard of this.
Oh yeah, it's the cutest thing in the world.
It is so stinking cute. And so if you have it, so we weren't even planning this. This was just magic that happened for us while we were there. But basically, Cinderella and Prince Charming come in through like the balcony area, and then they come around and they go down the big staircase. And the bottom of the staircase are all of these, you know, little girls dressed up as princesses, waiting for them to come down, and then they get to follow Cinderella and Prince Charming over into the middle portion of the lobby, and they have this sort of ballroom dance that happens in the middle. It was adorable. Everybody was dancing together, and I was like almost in tears. And Lily didn't even want to get out there. She was a little bit too nervous. So I'm watching other people's families and children, and I'm like in tears because it was so cute and so unexpected. And so then right after that, we got our, you know, our buzzer went off, and we got to go up into the garden tea room. And that was, it was just such a nice way to spend our very last moments. You know, because we were going to go back over to ESPN and watch awards, but for the most part, our vacation was kind of done at that point. And so it was really, really nice to just slow down. And the food was delicious. There was a lot of it just for the basic. Did you do the basic package or whatever as well?
Yeah, we had like I'm not fancy. We had like the little three plate stands, like with little sandwiches and little desserts and something else. I'll tell you what, well, I mean, it might have been enough food for you, but I could have taken like three of those. I think they're like egg salad sandwiches or something, man. That thing was so good. I loved everything, but I mean, I could have eaten like four or five full size sandwiches of that. That stuff was so good, but everything was awesome. And in the presentation, it's kind of like Festival of the Arts. I mean, I think that's kind of what they're celebrating over there, is how these chefs at places like the Grand Floridian can not only make it an experience for your palate, but also something that's so visual. And especially in the day of Instagram now, like, you know, of course we all had our phones out. I mean, it was Forster's and Rallman's, you know, and we had everything, you know, but it was just a neat experience. That's what it is. It's not just like a meal or a snack. It was a whole experience around with friends around a table. We had the best time. Actually, my buddy Scott, though, he spilled the hot tea into his lap, and that was even better. So, because he didn't know, like, they put that little cover thing on top of the tea to keep it, I guess, keep it warm. You know, like the koozie, yes. I guess it is. Well, he thought it was empty. So he didn't know there was something under the koozie and just grabbed it right in his lap. Yeah, steaming hot tea. I loved it. It's cracking me up. So, yeah, I mean, fun memories are made every day at the tea room, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, especially when you get a surprise like that.
Oh, yeah.
but, yes, we really enjoyed it. And definitely, I mean, yeah, those sandwiches, I mean, start to finish, it felt like enough food for us. But for sure, the ones that are really good, you're like, no, I want yes. more. Like, this is not enough.
Absolutely.
It's just a tease, basically. But that's basically how we ended our trip. We did, after the award ceremony, we did take a bus over to Disney Springs, and we got our shopping done. Then, because we had to leave super early the next morning, like an ungodly hour of like 2 a.m. we had to leave from our hotel room. So it was an early morning. We basically didn't go to sleep. We just packed and then got on the bus. But it was overall a really great experience.
Yeah, nothing says vacation's over like a 2 a.m. wake-up call to get on Magical Express. Like, hope you had fun.
Yeah.
It's over. that's
time
funny.
To go home.
Let me get a couple questions in here before we get out of here, because I know we're running short on time here. But so now, where did the competitors stay? Where did your squad stay? Did they also stay at Riverside, or did they stay at one of the All-Stars? How'd that work?
They were at All-Star Sports.
And so, like, is there a chaperone over there? I mean, I know these are college kids, but I mean, how does everybody make sure that everybody's kind of, you know, you don't lose a back spot, or you don't, you know, you lose a flyer somewhere, you know, somebody, because I mean, you know, you get on the other side of the country. Sometimes people make poor decisions. I mean, it happens in football, and I'm sure it also happens in cheerleading every now and then. I mean, is there some way to kind of just manage the group over at All-Stars, or how's that work?
I think it was mostly just that they're, they have certain goals for themselves.
Yeah,
so there's
true.
A certain level that they want to be there, and so they're going to make sure that they're in bed getting rest. But also definitely just how the whole weekend was scheduled for them made a big difference. You know, so if she wanted them back, then there was a mandatory team meeting.
Good.
And, you know, so then at that point, they're all back in the room. And from there, you know, the captains of the team are kind of running things. But she would also, you know, up until it was really lights out time, be able to go and check on them as well. And, you know, they're working on final, you know, putting rhinestones on their costume and that kind of thing. You know, so they're all going from room to room. So I think it just kind of happened by itself. Now, definitely you know, I have taken teams where if there isn't a lot going on a certain night, then they can find trouble, but they typically are pretty good about it. And
true.
It's Disney World, you know how much trouble can you really get into? When I was in college, they took us to Vegas for Nationals.
Oh, my God. That's a recipe for disaster.
There's a lot of places where a college student can get in trouble in Vegas. Disney World, not quite as many.
God, I hope nobody ever takes Mallory to Vegas for a competition when she's older. Please help me, because she will find trouble. Because Mallory's frame of reference, to be honest, and folks that, you know, have kids that are in cheer and dance, she's like been obsessed over the past 2 years with that Great Whites like web TV show. I guess it was on regular TV. You know, I'm talking about the Canadian squad that goes to Worlds. And, like, they film their whole season, you know, and they end up at Worlds at Walt Disney World. They're performing out there. But you can tell they're practicing in the football field with the All-Stars, you know, before the competition. So that's, like, her frame of reference. You know, and they do. They, like, get all together in, like, like one of their hotel rooms, and they show their uniforms they're wearing for the finals. You know, they made it to the final day. And, yeah, I mean, God, I hope this lives up to what she's hoping for. Because, I mean, I'm excited for it at the same time she performs, but... She's got high expectations because social media and YouTube, you know, everybody thinks they're going to be a rock star. So we'll see how it goes. So last question. So when you get back with the squad, were there any stories you heard from the competitors of something that was special for them? Because, you know, you're a Disney fan. You get to go to Disneyland a lot, go to Walt Disney World sometimes. But this might be a once in a lifetime trip for one of your you know, performers. So did they tell you anything? What did they think of the trip?
Oh, I mean, inevitably, there's always someone or at least a couple people on the team who have just purely never been to Disneyland or Disney World before. And for me, it's just so hard to fathom. But they're the ones that I can't help but just watch their reaction to everything, because, you know, you have to relive it through those people's lives. Oh, this is not just something you see every year. You know, just hearing them talk about the castle or, you know, the things that they really wanted to do. I think for sure Instagram has changed this a little bit, that now there's like, they see so many visuals of what it looks like that they want to recreate those moments. That's probably what I saw more than anything else, was, you know, them wanting to get one of the Mickey ice cream bars and take a picture of it in front of the castle, you know, things like that, that I saw them doing the most. But for the most part, I think it's them just hanging out with a team that they have worked so hard with and getting to be in a really magical place together and, you know, just sharing that experience that I think means the most to them.
That's awesome. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've learned a ton. This is going to help me appreciate everything going on in the chaos and the madness in May when we're down for Summit. I'm excited for it. But again, I'm not there for vacation. I'm there for my kid. And it's going to be just as magical, just in a different way. So I'm looking at it. So I've really learned
a
ton.
Yeah.
And thanks for taking these kids down there, because you know what? That's a great opportunity for them. And I know coaching is not easy. I know a lot of times you think, oh, coaches, you know, you're yelling stuff and the kids do it. There's so much into coaching. So thanks for doing that. And good luck to, I know you're not coaching the squad, but good luck to Wazoo and, you know, their teams here in the future. We appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at therunningbuddy.com. You got a race coming up here in the spring. Drop by and get your magnetic pouch. It goes right there on your waist. It's what I've used for the last 6 years for every run. And of course, I don't want to lose my iPhone. That sucker, I want to make sure it's safe. And this is what I've always used well before they were sponsors. They reached out to us. So check them out over at therunningbuddy.com. And even if you're not a runner, they got great backpacks and purses with Mickey and Minnie Mouse on them. They look awesome in the parks. You know what? You need something to Instagram? That's where you go. Check them out. They got the Disney collection right now over at therunningbuddy.com. Put BR Guest Podcast or BR Guest in the offer code at checkout and save 10% and get a free Disney pin. Also, don't forget to support our friends over at touringplans.com. They're keeping you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And thank you to everybody who continues to support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. We appreciate that so very much. It's over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And we've got a great Facebook page at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. let you get back to work. It's a Monday, but hopefully you enjoyed this, kind of cheerleading dance, Riverside Princesses tea. This has been a fun show. I've loved this one. So hope you did as well. So for Maggie, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.